What's up? Good evening. You're listening to a special bonus best of Taking the Over this week. My name is Gunn. My co-host is on vacation, and the Pelicans are playing play-in games multiple nights this week because they're going to win the first one. So recording a show is going to be a bit of a chore, but good news, we've got a special treat for you, the listener, this week. Today marks the 100th appearance of Devin Snow from Holden Mayo on Red Beans and Rice Day, Tradition Day, as you'll learn here in a moment. Devin is, of course, an amazing content creator here in the New Orleans market. I was very, very honored to have him on the show for the first time back in November 2020 because the dude has got it, man. He's just an extremely talented content creator that has unequaled originality and drive, and those are things that you can't teach. And I've been a fan of his for a while. I was fortunate to have him on the show a couple times, and so that's what we're going to present to you guys this evening is the previous two appearances of the man from Holden Mayo himself, Devin Snow, on Taking the Over. You'll learn in these interviews that these actually the first podcast ever to have Devin on. So I'm proud of that, man, because he's a special dude. He's got a special talent. I'm excited that we have these old tapes from the pod. One of them was from like the sixth episode of me ever doing this. So I doubt a lot of people listening will have heard that before. But first, before we get to that, I have to tell you that DraftKings sponsoring Taking the Over, and the NBA playoffs are coming up this week. Can't wait. Can't wait. And they mean next level basketball. Get ready for all of the action by betting the play-in tournament at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can bet $5 on any team to win and get $150 in free bets instantly. You win no matter what. $150, you win no matter what. All DraftKings Sportsbook customers, meaning all DraftKings, even if you're an existing DraftKings Sportsbook customer, you can also bet on NBA hoops with same-game parlays. Combine multiple bets from the same game for a bigger payout. The more legs you add, the more money you win. Plus, for each day of the play-in, get a risk-free bet up to $10 if your same-game parlay doesn't hit. Do y'all understand that? On DraftKings Sportsbook, if you bet a same-game parlay on the play-in and your same-game parlay misses, they'll give you a free bet back for $10. And that's for existing customers. That's not the new customer. That's the existing customer deal there. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code BOOT. Bet $5 on any NBA team to win their game during the play-in tournament and get $150 in free bets instantly. That's promo code BOOT at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. And so, very excited, very thankful to Boot Crew Media, very thankful to DraftKings, very thankful to all of our friends and all of our listeners and all of our supporters, and I'm thankful to Devin, for coming on this show a couple times. He didn't have to. We're nowhere near his level, but he's a good dude, and I recognize his talent, and I present to you now Holden Mayo, Devin Snow's first appearance on Taking the Over from November 2020.
Yeah.
What's up? Welcome to another episode of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. This week, we've got a guest that I am probably the most excited about to have. He's the first guest that we've had on the show, but when I started looking outside of our universe for a guest to come on the show, he was the first name that came to mind. From Hold the Mayo, we've got Devin Snow. Devin, what's up, man?
Not a lot, man. I can't call a cat's ass. What's going on, my brother?
Oh, dude, we're getting ready for that. We're getting ready for that Thanksgiving tomorrow. I made the mistake of going to the grocery store. It's like this is like the day before Thanksgiving is the worst grocery store day of the year.
And
Hey, bro.
I'm cursing out old ladies. I mean, I'm getting in arguments with motherfuckers at the post office. It's a Wednesday. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
tensions are rising here. I was at Martin Wine Cellar this morning, and I could just feel it. The lady I was next to me by the cold cuts. I was like, "Sweetheart, I'm just trying to get some cold cuts. I'm not trying to take, your cornbread stuffing or anything like that."
Right. Well, there's that adage. There's that adage, like, you go here and the person you meet at the newsstand's an asshole, and then you get on the bus and the bus driver's an asshole, and then but today I feel like they're all assholes. It's not me. You know what I
Everybody.
mean? It's not. I'm not the asshole today. I think everybody else is.
They would call us both assholes as fuck, no doubt about it.
Yeah, man. Well, look, this guy, like I said, for those of you that don't know, Hold the Mayo, this guy's legit. And basically, you've committed yourself full time to this. You've been at it really less than a year, right?
Yeah, I established it actually June 11th, 2019. I was a month away, and I didn't know at the time, from getting a promotion at Lamarck Ford. I was in the car business for 5 years.
I was in for a dozen, so you and I have that in common.
Yeah, man, and I loved it. Just like, most people who do well, I feel like, they love the fucking car business, once they see the success and everything like that. And man, I was just like so settled with it, man. And I'm looking back and stuff. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, because it definitely primed me so many ways for what I do now. But May, around that May 2019 mark, I just started kind of like not giving a fuck. I was kind of fed up with like seeing people's faces every day and doing that whole sales thing. And I felt like I was really kind of just settling in my life, man, dead ass serious. And I just started making videos, kind of like venting on that, and that's when it kind of all started.
Yeah, well, I mean, look, and really, in a very, very short period of time, I think you're the best independent unsigned talent in the New Orleans market. And I think that at what we do, like, I don't, there's a category for what we do. Dude, you were mentioned on the number one most downloaded sports podcast in the world for fucking 2 minutes this week. This week. You know what I mean? Like, that's, you're doing something right, man. That's the point. I don't want to get my nose too brown here, but I mean, like, when it came down to having somebody on, I think you're probably the most talented person in the market, and I think that you're definitely the hardest damn working man in the market. If you go to Hold the Mayo on Facebook, Devin's got shows on Friday nights, Sunday, Wednesday. You go to htmsports.com. There's blogs there. You follow him on at HTM Sports on Twitter, and also at HTM Undressed on Twitter. You're gonna see that. And then if you just want to catch audio versions of all of his shows, all your major pod apps, you're gonna search for HTM Sports. Did I get that part right?
Yeah, you can search HTM Sports, or if you just really want to go like straight to the source, HTM Undressed. That's what the podcast is called, but it's presented by HTM Sports. It'll both come up, no doubt
That's
about it.
awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, real quick, man. I appreciate the kind words. I really do. I'm one that definitely I vent how, because I mean, dude, I risked my whole life to do this. I
Oh,
vent
yeah.
how underrated I feel. I don't think that, that I'm not underrated. I think I'm underrated as fuck. And
Oh, yeah.
I vent on that constantly, and it's nice to hear people like see the whole bag, because some people only see me talking shit on a video maybe every now and then. But
Right.
to people who see the whole bag, man, I greatly, greatly appreciate it.
Now, your show's got like its own universe. You know what I mean? Like, I tune in live when I can, and then I just catch the others on pod apps. But like your Friday night show is fucking hilarious off the rails. You got guys that come on and they rap over, they call it spitting bars. They rap over music, and then you play Name That Tune with like three radio friendly songs, and no one can ever fucking guess any songs.
And
And like,
it's funny, man.
you got a whole, what it reminds me of, and tell me, I know I've got about a dozen years on you. It kind of, in a way, it kind of reminds me of like when Buddy D used to do the show on WWL, every night, and he had like personalities. And your show has its own universe. It has its own like people that come in week after week, and they've got their own personalities. And it reminds me of like when Buddy D was doing that. Reminds me of any good media show. Like, it takes on a life of its own. It takes on its own universe. So if you have not yet checked out Hold the Mayo. You got to go check out Hold the Mayo. It's just awesome.
I think, and I think that's what, you know, and that's what kind of inspired me to do it. You know, a couple of things happened, but really the one thing was I felt that there was a huge void in our local New Orleans market just for that exact type of thing. Like what you just said, like when I think of a show like that, you know, I think of Howard Stern. You know, I grew up as a kid and my stepdad had Howard Stern on in the truck bringing me to school. And, you know, he would have several different personalities. You know, you had Robin Quivers, you had, you know, the guy Beetlejuice. That was always, and it was just so, it was so entertaining. And it's like, dude, nobody's done that ever since.
No, no. And there's definitely a void in the New Orleans market, man. What we have to deal with the professional broadcasters, I'm not the biggest fan of, you know.
I got my guys that I love, man. You know, like, dude, I said it on Sunday. I fucking love Bobby Abab, bro. Dude, he just always says, it's just every time I put it on, he always says something that I am literally feeling, dude.
Yeah. He gets it out. He's drunk, man. He's drunk. But he gets it through.
No doubt.
He gets it through. Well, look, like I said, you got one of those go get life personalities. You strike me as a guy who's like, you know what? I want something. I'm gonna go get it. That's the kind of people that I try to, gravitate towards. I like to try and pick winners in sports. I like to try and pick winners in life. I'm very, very honored to have you on. I've got a couple questions. First off, and I've been listening for a while and I've been listening to the podcast. Where did Hold the Mayo come from? You're not a fan of mayonnaise, right?
No, I'm not a fan of mayonnaise. That definitely factored into it. But more or less, you know, when in that same May time when I was picking around names to do what I thought I was gonna, man, this has all turned into something completely kind of different than what I kind of had in mind. You know,
right.
Anyway, it's like hold the phone. It's like hold on, let me get a word in. That's what it was. Obviously, I can never run from the condiment displeasure.
I love mayo.
Yeah, I fucking had the worst experience with it when I was a kid. Dude, I'll never forget it.
It's like I think as white people, I thought we were obligated to love mayonnaise.
Well, I feel like everybody thinks a white person likes mayonnaise, but they ain't mad me.
Now, another feature on your show, you're a big fan, dude. You go out all around the New Orleans metro area and you check out red beans, right?
Yeah, tradition, man.
And you dude, the way you list it is pretty gracious in that, like, you're like, these are all the, you know, these are the places. This is who's got the best red beans?
I mean, to be honest with you, my personal favorite, I love Cuda Brown's, man. There's something about that place where it feels like you could walk in there butt ass naked and get a bowl of red beans and rice and you're going to have a phenomenal time.
Oh yeah. Well, Cuda Brown's is fun. This is going to seem really simple. Popeyes, dude. It's hard to beat Popeyes red beans.
I went, and that should tell you enough right there. Like, I respect their beans.
No conversation about red beans is not going to include Popeyes red beans, for sure.
I respect it. And the cool thing about Popeyes red beans, you could throw it on anything else they fucking make, and it's a great combination. Throw it on chicken, whatever you want.
Oh yeah. Do you cook your own ever? You ever do red beans over there at Mayo headquarters?
Well, now that I'm fully vested in mayonnaise, I don't really get the time or finances to go get all that shit. But I will say that when I was in college, bro, I made red beans every single Sunday, and it was a certain way. You know, I used Rotel. That was my main ingredient. I used a whole can of Rotel.
Okay. And
I crocked them for like 12, 16 hours, bro, every Sunday night. And dude, they were fucking phenomenal. I used ham hocks too.
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm all about building shit from scratch in the kitchen. But when it comes to red beans, dude, I can gimmick up some Blue Runners.
Yeah.
That'll knock your socks off. So, well, look, man.
From scratch?
The Blue Runners are the Blue Runners. I'm taking the Blue Runners out the can, but I'm doing a lot. I'm cooking down vegetables. I'm doing a lot of different things to it. They didn't come to hear us talk about beans and sausage today. They came to hear two of the best names in this market talk about sports gambling. And dude, your picks are on. I look to you for college advice all the time. I try this year, especially with COVID. I am trying to stay the fuck away from college betting. It is scary out there with college betting.
I thought that was going to be the way, dude. For whatever reason, bro, I just feel like when I'm betting college football lately, lately, it's like walking into the living room, bro. It's so comfortable. And it's really? Just because I'm going with the same teams, really, bro.
Yeah. Yeah.
You do still have those, but the fuckery for me is happening in the NFL. That's just my
opinion. Oh, okay. All right. Well, we'll get into that because I feel, I'm like, yeah, I feel more comfortable with the NFL and certain teams. My picks of the pod went 3-3 last week. We're 35-22 overall NFL on this pod, so 62.8%. That's something that I'm happy with. And we built a lot of that taking overs early on in the season when I think the refs were having a hard time catching up.
Yeah, no, I think that's my bad, man. I think that's really good for NFL. You know, 35-22. That's something to definitely tip your hat on for sure.
Well, let's see. The whole idea here is we hang out, we talk shit, we have fun. We picked the games, and I'm ready to get rolling through it. Are you ready to pick some games with me?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
Okay, there's only one rule, by the way. We don't take unders here.
Yeah, I don't take them either.
Okay, good. Yeah, dude, if you take unders, I can't. I'm like, we can't.
You've never seen me take it, dude. I promise you.
Yeah, I don't want to. Yeah, it's a personality. If you're taking unders, we got a problem.
What's the deal with why is it like that though? Like, why do we want to take overs so much?
Because we want to watch scoring. We don't want to watch people not score. You know, I mean, that's, we don't want to go, oh fuck, they called pass interference and I'm pissed off. You're like, fuck yeah, they called pass interference. Like, we're heading towards the end zone, you know?
Right.
So yeah, no, I mean, I guess if you really, it got a hard on for defense, you'd take unders, but that's not how it works, you know?
Yeah.
So, all right. So we're going to start with tomorrow, Thanksgiving. Recording this on Wednesday, all news.
And so that was Devin's first appearance on Taking the Over back in November 2020. Got a little bit of a background on the origins of Hold the Mayo and a little bit of the mystery behind the man has been unraveled. And next is Devin's second appearance on the show. Coming at you from the summer of 2021, we got into a lot of talk about sports gambling in Louisiana, the universe of Hold the Mayo, and all of the crazies that it involves. A little bit of talk about medical weed, and I think you're going to have a lot of fun with it. So here is another bonus appearance of Devin Snow from Hold the Mayo, summer 2021.
What's up? Good evening. You're listening to another episode of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. I am your host, the one and only Billy Gunn, on this, the official sports wagering podcast of the and joining me this evening, a return guest to the show. Man, probably been my favorite guest that I've had on so far, because number one, this guy actually gambles. Like, he actually wagers on sports, and you can tell when people actually do and when they don't. And this guy's one of those people. He is a content creator, and I believe that he is the best independent content creator in the whole New Orleans market. So I'm very, very, very pleased to have on my show this evening, Devin Snow from Hold the Mayo. Devin, what's up, brother? How you doing? Welcome back.
Hey, man. It's like I said, man, pleasure and honor. I mean, it's just nice to come on another show, much less one I've been on before. Probably, dude, honestly, thinking back on a time ahead, I don't think I've ever been on another show.
So, have you been on traditional radio shows?
Man, I've called in, you know, like, but other than that, man, really, I've had a few guests on my show, like maybe four, like in the beginning.
Right.
And that was it, man. I remember we did our thing. You know, what was that?
Right.
I don't know how long, but maybe
that was in November.
Yeah. So I don't think I've ever been on another podcast, bro. Oh, nope. I haven't.
Damn. Well, welcome back to the only other podcast you've ever been on. Well, that's the thing. Dude, you're a fucking one man army, though. I mean, there's people. Like, you've got a universe, dude, and there's people that kind of float around in your universe. You've got planets and shit, but your universe is crazy. Like, I love it. I enjoy it. I get a lot out of it. Like, I had friends turn me onto it, you know, like a year ago. And I mean, dude, as a content creator and a brand maker, and the shit that just organically happens
in your world, it's fucking awesome entertainment.
And dude, to be honest with you, that's why, and it's not that I'm not willing to, because more than ever I am, but that's why I haven't been on a lot of podcasts and shows like that. I'm so obsessed with like creating, you know, like storyline and whatever I've made, you know, and you know, unraveling that. What else can we get out of it? You know, more than anybody. I mean, I got a bunch of fucking space cadets.
You do.
They called a fucking show. So
it's, I mean, not even, it's the colors to the show, you know, are one thing. And it's almost like it reminds me of old school, like we talked about last time on the show, old school Howard Stern, or just like, I remember when Buddy D show had a cast of characters when I was like 10 years old, you know, and I'm too old, or too much older for you to have ever been around for that. But,
Look, dude, Buddy D, I mean, I grew up watching Howard Stern, grew up watching right. Buddy D, one with my dad, one with my stepdad. And, right. and yeah, no doubt, bro.
You've got a 21st century, a year 2021 problem. You got crazy motherfuckers that pop up in your DMs all the time. Like, like 18 to 25 year old aggro dudes get fucked up and start hitting you up at like 2 o'clock in the morning with ideas on how to fucking, yeah. or they're going to be your next big thing.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, I kind of like invite it. I invite anybody that wants to take a shot, right? But at the same time, it's like, dude, I'm so worn out on it. Like, it's been like fucking, you know, 40, 50 guys who have said, yeah, you know, I'm your guy. I got this idea, blah, blah, blah. And they can't do it for longer than a week, 2 weeks. And that bothers me so much, man. I can't understand it. You know, look at how long you've done the podcast, bro.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, there's so many people that go, I'm going to be the greatest at this ever. And they don't last 2 weeks.
Yeah. And it's like, dude, that's the main thing they can't take. And dude, I know it's going to happen every time. You have to be able to take failure for a while, unless, right. unless you just blow away talent, bro. Like, and it's still going to take a few months of failure, man. You know,
I have never mentioned this on air on my show, but people that know me in real life or have known me for the last 15 years know this. I did stand up comedy for 7 years.
Dude,
I was in the stand-up comedy scene for 7 years, and it got to a level where I could do some still independent small bar show regional touring. But dude, at the beginning, you're so bad.
Oh, I can imagine.
Oh, it's terrifying. And you have to put it out there. That's the only way to do it, is repetition. So you can't just go and perform in front of nobody.
Right.
You know, like, you're not going to get better at podcasting without publishing podcasts. But these dudes fucking get loaded at 2 a.m. and go, I'm the greatest thing ever. I just haven't tried it yet, but here's my, you know, and it's like, oh, it's hilarious.
And the best part about it is I have a spot for those guys.
Yes.
Every show. I have a spot for those guys every show. Dude, get as loaded as a ham fucking sandwich and call my show, bro. And I invite you with open arms. But it's like, dude, like, everybody wants to like be the next rocket scientist. And I'm like, this ain't a rocket science business, to be honest with you. It's just, you got to do things for a long time and find what you like, man.
It's crazy. Like I said, I love your show. Again, and you'll like, when those guys get crazy aggressive, you'll like put them out there. You're like, hey, and it's not like you dox them or anything. You're like, dude, this is just fucking content. Like, content. You've earned it. You've earned it, buddy.
And that's another way, bro, to see if somebody's head's in the game, man. Like, if they feel like that's personal, or they take that the wrong way, that they're getting
blown
up off of content, then, bro, I don't even want to, you know, I can't do nothing with you, man.
They're done.
Yes.
Well, the only thing, so like I said, as a fan of your show and as a fan of your content, the only thing to me, and it's a generational thing, because I'm 42. What are you? You're like 27 or something, right?
I'm 29.
29. Oh, you're almost there.
Yeah, I got almost a year 30. Left to figure out if I'm going to smoke cigarettes forever or not.
Oh, dude. Good luck. I'll quit. If you quit, I'll quit. I'll quit with you. We'll do it like buddies. We'll hold each other's hand. I mean, it's a pretty bad habit to have at this point, but I go give them $8 every day. Let's go.
Oh, especially now, like you said, at this point,
it's eight bucks.
Yeah. I think, and for many reasons too, also, like, look at the world, bro. The world is so, like, I hate to say it, but like, as fucking crazy as the world is, they're healthy. And, you know, everything's healthy now. Like,
but what's fucked up is that I still smoke. I'm getting healthy in every other aspect of my life. Since I started this podcast, I've lost 50 pounds.
Dude, you look good, man.
I've grown a mullet, fucking lost 50 pounds. I mean, I exercise, I eat like a fucking scientist now. Like, okay. I understand from exercising, from like, I bought a really expensive bike, you know, and I'm like, you're going to ride this sumbitch.
Yeah.
You spent this money on it. You're going to ride. I ride like 40 miles a week now. you know.
That, that'll do it, bro. Like running and riding, bro. Like that shit, yeah, like is like proven, bro. And especially like, dude, honestly, I got this punching bag in my living room right now, and it's a fucking shame because like all I need is the stand, bro, and I'm like the next Wahlberg, you know. Right. Like right. It's just I need to get the stand. It's $100 stand. It's a rare piece, you know. If you're looking for it, use so. It's been sitting in my
room. I'm not going to punch things. I'm not going to, but thank you. I appreciate it.
The cardio, man.
Cardio. I love cardio. I like a Diaz brother out there on the bicycle, bro.
Yeah, man.
You know,
yeah.
I go behind the garage and then I, you know, fire one up and I get on my bike and dude, it's great. Yeah. And what I'm at a different age, bro. Like I said, you're 29, prime condition. The only thing that's different about my show or the part that I don't get to your show is there is an age difference. It's like you're the primary dudes in your audience, bro, being 12 years younger than what I am, right? It's a big difference.
It's funny.
It's generational. Like a generation is literally 13 years and we're 13 years apart.
Yeah. It's funny to, well, you know, and I'm not even trying to like slap my own ass here, but thank God for me, dude, or you wouldn't be watching this show because I'm a nostalgist. Like I love old time shit, you know, yeah, like 90s and stuff like that. But you know, a lot of those viewers, man, that's what makes the show, right? Those guys are kind of oblivious to a lot of topics and stuff like that that I bring up often, man. Like, dude, there was a guy that called the other night, never played Grand Theft Auto, bro.
What?
Never played Grand Theft Auto. Joe Show never played Grand Theft
was
Auto.
Was he one of those people that lives in like an abandoned storage container in Utah?
Dude, that's these kids from North Shore. Might as well be Utah. That's these kids from the North Shore. They didn't play Grand Theft Auto.
I live amongst these people, dude. I'm in the most Mandevillest part of Mandeville, bro. Wow. It's over the top. It's over the top.
My dad wasn't like he wasn't, you know, excited that I was playing Grand Theft Auto, but it couldn't be denied. You know, like it's just not playing Grand Theft Auto to me is like I said, man, it's like never going to Walmart.
Yeah, I've caught 8-year-old children playing Grand Theft Auto in my house that were my children.
Yeah, no doubt. So,
well, dude, I'm gonna be that 3 a.m. drunk guy. Let me come blog for you.
Yeah,
let me write some blogs.
You can write some blogs for me, man. Just as long as you write them and keep writing them, I think great things will happen, man. If you write a few and it just seems like a desert, then more than likely it's going to feel like a desert, you know? So,
all right. I think there's a part of your audience that's already there. It's just like dudes my age.
And yeah. You know what I mean? Dude, if you wrote blogs about fucking rock music, and I'm just bringing this up, but if you wrote blogs about rock music and you wrote one blog a week about rock music and it was like featuring like blogs about Kiss, fucking AC/DC, you know, all this shit, like that would hit.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing it in Louisiana.
No. Well, I mean, if you listen to my show, I've got all this rock music playing in the background.
Exactly.
Rock music. That's you know, it's
like, dude, you ever seen that movie Detroit Rock City?
That's a great movie. Yes. I spent a lot of time in college watching that movie.
So it came out what, in like the late 90s, early 2000s?
It came out in the late 90s. It was probably right around 99 or so. Yeah.
Dude, so that movie, man, like I used to stay home a lot. From school in elementary because my mom was just doing, you know, some wild things and I didn't have no ride to school and so I'd be home watching a bunch of movies and shit and I used to watch shit like that and I was so young, but dude, that's what got me into like historic rock music, bro. Like that movie right there, it just like Kiss and look, I mean, going back as far as like AC/DC and even before that, dude, like even like not even rock, the Bee Gees and shit like that.
I'm on it. We'll talk about rock music in my blog over at HTM Sports.
Yeah, HTMSports.com.
There you go. Billy Gunn coming soon to an HTMSports.com near you. And that's the last thing I want to say, you know, before I stop kissing your ass. You're a hustler, dude. You work. You don't slow down. And you and I both have a similar shared background coming from a similar business that we used to work in. And, you know, as well as I know, hustlers never lose.
Hey man. Yeah. And you know it too, like with the whole, from hero to zero. So every day, you know, you gotta get it.
That shit's going to reset.
Yeah. And that's how you got to view this industry. If you view it like that, man, you'll do really good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, look, man, we got a full show tonight. I've become, Devin, I've become a news source to people getting information about sports wagering in Louisiana and like when it's going to start and what it looked like, because there's a vacuum. There's been an emptiness there. And somehow this crazy fucking podcast where I talk about aliens and alpacas and weed and gambling is now like a reputable news source that people are coming to. So I got some sports book news. Yeah. I reached out to Louisiana Gaming Control Board last week and emailed them, and they wrote me back in 22 minutes and they were like, "Hey, we're meeting next week. Go find the link and you can watch it." And so I did. And the Louisiana Gaming Control Board met today to discuss sports gambling, amongst several other things. Fascinating meetings. One thing that I saw today, Devin, was that they announced that $32 million in taxes and fees last month is what they made.
Okay.
The state made.
Okay.
From regular gambling. They just like before they started talking about the sports wagering shit, they had to get through like old business and new business, And like it's an official.
Yeah, they got to get through how much reports. They made on taxes.
Yes.
Fucking yes. Right. Of yes. course. Why would they talk about anything else before they started talking about how much they made on taxes?
But a little light bulb went off in my head when I heard that number. Right. And it kind of influenced and it painted everything else that my approach to what's happening with this. So they met today. They considered a bunch of emergency consideration of, they basically wrote all the more finely tuned laws about it. You know, it got approved at this level and then the legislature put their hands on it. And now like the board that's going to govern is finally tuning it. And so they put their touches. What they ended up doing, you had the regulators like the state police and the gaming control board. They've been meeting with the major gambling people like behind the scenes for a long time now to help get this ready. So right. they're all on the same team and everybody has an interest in making this shit happen. Initially, when they first, you know, when it passed in the legislature, everybody's like, gambling is going to be ready in time for opening kickoff September 9th, that Thursday night game, right? And then it was like, oh, then the chairman resigned under unscrupulous terms and this and that. And is it going to happen in time? Oh, maybe it'll be in time for bowl season. And everybody's been running around going, oh, this shit might be here in time for bowl season.
Right.
And I'm trying to get to the bottom of, when's it actually going to be here?
Yeah. When can I wake up, take a shit, and play some bets legally, bro? That's what we want to know.
Without driving to Mississippi?
Without driving to Mississippi.
Without calling your great uncle that manufactures books for a living?
Correct.
If you listen to what the legacy media is saying, they are saying that the best case scenario is going to be mid-September. You'll be able to walk into like a retail, like a casino itself. So you can go to Baton Rouge. You can go to Harris. You can go to the boats. And they will have a sportsbook area. Some of the folks in the legacy media are saying mid-September, so not in time for that. And they're saying, oh, and the apps aren't even close. The apps
You see how all this is going to turn out.
These people
right?
don't so, get it. These are yeah, the people but, that don't get it that are writing the articles. You know what they don't get? This ain't DraftKings' first fucking rodeo.
Yeah, dude.
This ain't FanDuel's first rodeo.
And this ain't the
big Barstool, the company Penn Gaming that owns
all
Barstool.
All the apps are going to be ready.
This is what they do. Yeah. And they've already been meeting with the regulators.
Yeah, the apps are going to be ready, bro.
They're going to be ready. And they passed these emergency rules today that go into effect Monday so they can start taking and processing licenses.
Yeah, see, I don't, I'm going to be honest with you, bro. I like talking about this because, you know, I know a lot about it, but I also don't like talking about it because it pisses me the fuck off, because essentially what's going on is they are handing out the licenses to whoever they want to hand the licenses out to, talking about the state of Louisiana, okay? Oh, yeah. And these companies that are coming in, like Barstool, FanDuel, or whatever the fuck, DraftKings and all this shit, Caesars. They are going to come in and clean house.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these dudes down here, like Harris and all this shit, are trying to get their shit together because they haven't evolved with the times, and Barstool and DraftKings and all these guys have. Like, they have. They're
ready. They're got to pass a background. The state police are going to have to look at everybody on their board's background. Oh, you don't think that hasn't happened 17 times already in the other 17 states that they're in now.
And that's why they shouldn't control the licenses like they're going to be controlling these licenses. And they should let people fucking who have the money and have the experience pay the money to get the licenses and start books, bro. Like
they this want is 500 bullshit. Grand for they want 500 grand.
So I guess what, bro? Grand. There's some folks out there.
I know, but I'm not done. They want 500 grand. They want you to show them the infrastructure. And you also have to show them that you can geofence, because that stupid 13 parishes or 9 parishes, whatever the fuck it is, you know, for the app-based stuff. They want you. And so that's where your FanDuels and your DraftKings, they all just, they're, this is what they do.
Yeah, so you're going to let people come in here that aren't from the state and make all the money. That's mm-hmm. that's my problem with it.
Mm-hmm. So let's say this is probably the last month, the last full month that you can't bet on sports in Louisiana until starting next month. So they 32 million is what they took in. How much do you think that's going to go up when the sports gambling gets here?
Well, I mean, yeah, they're going to
you think it's going to double?
I mean, at least.
And then people want to act like this shit's not going to be ready for September 9th.
And I want to be, dude, I want to be clear on what I'm saying about they're going to come in and make all the money. They're going to get the first shot to make all the money. Okay. And I understand that that comes back to the state and everything like that, but it's still not, dude, it's not the way that I just personally would do it. I would have local companies doing it, bro. That's who's getting the money first. That's who's making the apps. And all these other people can come down here and compete with us.
They don't even toss locals like a crumb on this. There's not even like not even written into it. It's like, oh, you get 25% of it has to be local.
Right.
Because you could do that. Right. And the big dogs would still be like, okay.
And let them cut and then let them and see what I'm saying, dude. That's
well, these rules that passed, by the way, Devin, these are not final. These are emergency rules. And there will be public input before the real rules hatch. I think you and I should go to Baton Rouge one day, take a field trip.
Oh, I'm down.
Before they write the real rules, go like, hey. How about you take? How are you taking care of local people,
bro? I know you see me on Twitter, bro. I'm asking it every day.
Yes. Well, it's time to start asking, and we're gonna have a chance to go. I mean, like they will have public input. They have to face us before these rules go final. These rules are an emergency status. They're good for 180 days. They're not law yet. They're going to have a public hearing and go through all these hoops before they do. And we could honestly go, hey. You got to carve some of this out for like local Louisiana based shit.
Yeah. And they're going to be like, where's your structure? And I'm going to be like, I'm going to be honest with you, bro. Y'all have been discouraging me.
I'm going to use whoever structure. Barstool. You think they all have proprietary software? We can buy, I mean, we can get access to it.
Oh, bro. I know enough stoner nerds to yeah, bro.
We'll write our own platform. We'll write our own app.
That's yeah. And I don't want to.
That's actually
come
not
off,
out of the question. You know what? Yeah. That's not out of the question.
I don't want to come off dreamy or nothing like that, bro. No, but like this. For real. Like I'm just being honest. Like that's bullshit that they really dead ass like just let that shit happen. I don't even know if they realize like what it means to some people, man. Like that means something.
I'm writing down that my first blog is gonna be about how Devin and Gunn lobby. The state legislature.
Yeah, it's just a dude. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gaming control board.
Yeah, I'm a shit politician. I do state just facts when it comes to the things I really like, and I really like to gamble.
Oh, I know a little bit about politics, but I don't like to talk about it because politics sucks. But this shit sucks. It's gross. It's yeah, gross man. How they fleece.
Same thing with the weed.
And we're over here getting all excited about a morsel. Oh, hopefully it'll be here when they said it was going to be here, when it makes logical sense for be here. Please, please, government, make it happen.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even think about it, bro. I just fucking gamble and smoke weed because guess what? That's the two things that they refuse to like do a human like, you know, human pace. On come, I mean, look, how long ago did Colorado legalize weed, bro? And how many?
It's been a long time. It's been real like a long. Decade. I mean, I sit here. I'm a Louisiana medical patient, so it was weird. Like the day that happened, I felt like I'd been baptized or something. Yeah. Like I was like, oh, I went from a criminal to a patient.
Bro, how many places in the state of Louisiana have a license to grow weed? One.
Well, there's two. There's one at LSU and there's one at Southern. So there's two licenses there. Where if you got angry about local bookies not being able to get involved, you're going to get sick when I tell you that when they legalized medical marijuana in Louisiana, the thing was who they give the pharmacies to. There were seven pharmacies. It's like seven or nine pharmacy licenses. There's supposed to be two in every congressional district, but that doesn't add up. My math is horrible. But there's something like seven, right? And I'm fortunate that there's one near me. But you want to talk about good old boy system?
Oh, yeah, that's what I heard.
Oh, my God. And there can only be seven of them?
Yeah.
It's a beautiful – look, I don't even want to disparage. Like, I think I enjoy my local friendly people. They run a beautiful pharmacy. Yeah, I mean, the pharmacist helped me. The pharmacist taught me something. He taught me about eating. He's like, I was like, you know, I noticed when I take edibles that if I eat, you know, like it just boom to the moon. Right. And he goes, yeah, high fat foods, eat fatty foods. That's what the pharmacist told me. They got a little, he had a little lab coat on. He's an actual pharmacist. This guy went to pharmacy school. He goes, eat fatty foods. Yeah. So I take my tincture and I eat some bacon, you know?
Yeah, I guess the thing is with that, you know, like how maybe some of these like your pharmacy or whatever, maybe they getting buds and medicine from different places other than just, you know, that grow up out in at LSU, because I heard that the stuff that they growing out there, bro, it's just like the people you said, like there's only a few of them, you know, like just kind of like some dudes that don't really know what's chronic, bro, you know, what some stank is. You know, some medical stank, bro.
As it's been right, or as it is right now, they're allowed to do tinctures, gummies, and vape pens, right?
Oil, yeah. Yeah.
And the law passed this past year, and it will go into effect January 1 of next year, where they can do flower. And yeah, you can buy flower there.
That's what I heard. I heard that like the shatter and stuff, like it's not light, it's dark stuff, you know, like that's just from somebody that you know has been going, that has a card that I talk to, bro.
My place has the I like the tincture, and I like the, I just got a man vape, you know, a little vape pen.
Okay, nice.
Thank you, LSU Ag Center. It's beautiful.
I mean, it's still, yeah. Yeah, it's tight. That I can't wait until we just evolve, man.
And it's shit, and bro. It's like, yeah, like this, the fact that there's criminality, like I had to get medically diagnosed and pay money to, and pay more to do it legally than somebody who's doing it criminally. It's just the biggest absurdity in the world. But the pharmacies are beautiful. I love my local place. I love everything. It's really been helpful for me.
That's good, man. I'm very excited for you, man. Cause like I'm, you know, even since I was a young kid with no mind, man, I always believed that THC, man, THC, something about that THC, man.
Well, it's like when early in life, you felt like an outlaw for doing it. And then one day you go, this really helps me. And then they start changing the laws and everybody, like your argument the whole time was right. Like, it's just silly.
Yeah, I remember that first stint of smoking pot, man, like when I was like fucking 13.
Oh, wow, that's early. You know, yeah.
That first month or two, I felt really guilty, like, you know, such a bad kid, you know, like.
Yeah.
And then really, dude, once I got to college, really, for real, because, I mean, high school kind of flew by once I started smoking pot. I'm going to be honest
with
you.
Right, right.
It just did.
Yeah, same team.
crazy, huh? Like,
yeah.
But yeah, once I got to college, I started really embracing what pot was doing for me, man. Like, for real. Even when I was like, I had some stumbles and I, you know, went to jail for a couple of nights or whatever. Like, I came back home, man. Pot was the first thing. I was just like, man, I'm so grateful to be able to smoke you, man. For, like, it's just, I don't know.
Well, it's weird because I remember like being in college speech class, and you know, you're a sophomore in college and all of a sudden like you're super passionate about marijuana. Like, you know, I wasn't, you're writing your fucking speeches in speech class about weed, you know, and like, professors, just this old conservative dude shaking his head. But it's like, what's funny is my parents' generation, they're starting to act like those college sophomores, like giddy, yeah, excited, cool, about weed, giddy, excited, yeah, about, because it's helping them. Because it's easing their pain and their suffering.
Awesome.
And it was, yeah, something that they were programmed their entire lives to think was bad and evil. And they're acknowledging at a very late part in life that it's not.
What a win.
Oh, it's unbelievable. And it's beautiful. It's actually a very, very beautiful thing.
It, dude, it really is like so like meaningful. Like to make like that. That is just the clarity in that at the end of the life is that's awesome.
You get wiser as you get older, man. You know, I mean, and then you meet like really unwise old people and you go, man, that person's just fucking lost.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Did you hear about the New Orleans being the number one ranked drinking city of all NFL teams? NFL fans who spend the most money on alcohol spend it at the New Orleans Superdome, an average of $64.81 for their party.
That I'm gonna be honest with you, that number right there, that is showing the money.
I used to be a huge alcoholic, and when I would go, if I was getting down, it's gonna be an $80-$100 day.
Yo, if I can spend 64,
that feels fair, right?
We are fair.
Yeah. I guess that's the average, though. They're averaging people that drink and don't drink.
I'm excited about this analytic. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Had you heard about this before?
No, I'm not.
Oh, dude, yeah. Huh? The Saints are number one, $64.81. New England Patriots are second, $60.81. We had a $4 advantage on the Patriots in second place. The Buffalo Bills, now those motherfuckers get down. Bills but fans drink, right?
They were
29 cents lower than the Patriots. So there's like a bottleneck there.
Yeah. I always said about those Buffalo fans, I think that New Orleans fans are just as crazy. I just think that Buffalo's better on social media. I've always said that because I've gotten into a 100, 200 Buffalo Bill fan thread war at night where every Saints fan was night. Couldn't get a Saints fan to back me up on Twitter.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It sucks. Bills fans are nuts.
They're nuts.
The next team on this list is the Texans at $59.23. They're a little more than a dollar behind the Bills. Then you got the LA Rams, $55 even. Interesting. They probably don't even use spare change over there.
That's a weird one for me, that last one, the LA Rams.
I feel it'd be disgusting to go to an LA Rams game.
I would never go.
I feel like it'd be disgusting.
Yeah, I would sit outside the stadium on that one, but you better take me to the Hollywood Stars.
I've got a stupid. I want you to tell me how. I mean, you're an experienced gambler, right? It's fair to say, just for our audience that doesn't remember, Devin Betts, and Devin's good. Devin's very fucking good. Devin's really good at UFC.
I've really been playing with lately.
Well, if you've got anything for the UFC on ESPN, let me know.
So that's it. Both appearances of Devin Snow from Hold the Mayo on Taking the Over. Many thanks to Devin. Congratulations to Devin, man. Keep doing what you're doing. Again, guy's living the dream. You know, I mean, he's doing what so many people aspire to, and he bet on himself. And all the respect in the world to that man. He's living the dream. You can't take that away from this guy, and he's going to be big. And I'm proud to say that, you know, I've known him since. So many thanks to Devin, and let him know I was going to do this before putting up there. I know he's very particular about his content. Many thanks to Boot Crew Media for all of their love, and many thanks to DraftKings. Again, NBA playoffs are coming up. Promo code BOOT is what you want to do. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code BOOT. Bet $5 on any NBA team to win their game during the play-in tournament. Get $150 in free bets instantly. That's promo code BOOT at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER in Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Wyoming, 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona, 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and New Hampshire, 888-789-7777 in Connecticut, 1-800-BETS-OFF, Iowa, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, 877-8-HOPE-NY, text HOPE-NY to New York, visit OPGR.org in Oregon, call or text Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789 in Tennessee, or 1-888-5-HOPE-NY 5'3", 235 Virginia, 21+, 18+ in West in Wyoming, physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming only. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Thank you for listening to Taking the Over. If you found us for the first time and you've made it this far, go give me a follow, man. Go find us on any major podcast app, wherever you find podcasts. Subscribe. Be our friend. We're here every week. We're live on Boot Crew Media's YouTube every week. I broadcast live on my Twitter every week. And you can always find the podcast here. So much thanks. Much love. Have a good week. Billy Gunn loves you. Hugs, kisses, love, bye.